Listen, if you're standing, you can take your seat. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. Are you all well? Good. Are you awake? Fantastic. You know, Father, I just pray, awake our soul this morning to your truth. May it work in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, you know, I'm so excited to be able to bring this message to you. You know, we're in the middle of a series called Kingdom Come. And what we're looking at is what are the values that we need to live by, that we need to lead by in order to make his kingdom, in order to make the king and his reign visible, tangible, so that you and I and our communities can touch it and see it. And so there's certain values we believe that if we were to live by them, we would make the invisible kingdom visible. And we've been looking at the value of generosity. We've been looking at the key value of leadership and honor. And today I have the great privilege of bringing to you and just kind of unpacking with you the value of excellence. So I've got to be honest, the reason I'm bringing this one is it's because the one that confused me the most. And I kind of feel like that maybe if it's confusing to me, it might have been confusing to you and we can learn together. Is that okay? Okay, so in my head, I heard someone say excellence. In fact, it was one of the things that when I came to this community, it was this tangible thing that I could see that people here actually did genuinely have a value of excellence. But in my head and in my belief system at the time, I decoded that to mean perfect. I don't know about you, but I believe that very often when people say excellence, what they internalize is perfect. And let me just tell you right now, that is a road just to frustration, to draining energy. And I just want to break it to you now. You're not perfect. Okay, that should be a relief to you. Because the striving to be perfect and to do something perfectly is honestly the most draining experience ever. It does not build you up. So it should be a relief. In fact, Scripture says that we all sin and we all fall short of the glory. And because of that, Jesus gave us the gift of grace. So I don't know, I just actually want to bring you the good news today that in order to carry a spirit and a value of excellence, you don't have to be perfect. That should honestly be a release to you. Let me tell you what excellence is. Excellence, at the heart of it, is good stewardship. It is a life that says, I'm going to do the best I can with what I have for the glory of God. That's what it means to carry a value of excellence. I'm going to do the best I can. Not that I'm going to be perfect. Let me tell you what a spirit of perfection says. I'm going to do it without mistake. Like, that is exhausting. Do you know, I was actually talking to my son about the value of excellence versus being perfect. And one of the things we were kind of chatting about is he said, you know, in the areas of my life where I expect to be perfect, they're the ones that actually when I'm not, and I don't know why it's a surprise to us all when we're not, but then I feel hard done by, I'm criticizing both myself and the environment around me. When feedback is given, it's heard through a lens of, this is where you fell short. This is your mistake. But when you accept, it's going to be a learning experience. When you accept, I'm going to do my best, and there'll still be some stuff I need to learn and develop. When you hear feedback, you hear it through a lens of, I kind of knew there would be some stuff to learn. Okay, thank you. What else can I develop? What else can I build on? And in fact, feedback becomes an encouragement to you because you start to think about how can I adapt? How can I innovate? Because that's what excellence does. It adapts and it innovates. Whereas perfection, so that's what excellence does, but perfection looks at what is lacking and what is missing. Excellence looks at what do I have? and how can I do the best with it? That is the difference. Let me tell you, excellence is honoring, and it's authentic. It doesn't pretend to be something it is not. Whereas I just think, as a fellow person, I'm going to say that I'm no longer on that track, and I try very hard to stay off it. But as somebody who grew up trying to reach this unrealistic ideal, it's not good for the soul. It's not good for the soul. And let me tell you, it is a thief. It will rob you of time. I can't remember the things I've done again, or that wasn't quite right, and again, that wasn't quite right, let me just try it again. I'm doing the same thing, expecting different results, because I'm not allowing this process of adapting and being innovative. But I'm just doing it again, because one time, hopefully, it'll be perfect. You know, it robs time. It drains energy. And let me tell you, after a while, people get frustrated and they withdraw. Because if I can't do it, then I'll rather not take part. And so I want to really tell you a story that's taken from a scripture in Matthew, where Jesus sits his friends down and he says, let me give you an illustration of what the kingdom, remember we're talking about kingdom, what the kingdom of God is like. And he tells a story about three servants, and we're going to read it today, and I want you to look at it and listen through the lens of excellence and through the lens of perfection, and really see how one empowers and the other actually disempowers. I just want to say right from the beginning, you are not going to get excellence by demanding perfection. You are not going to get excellence by demanding perfection. Do you know, excellence in one season of my life looks very different to excellence in another, because what I had is different. Where I am is different, but I did the best I could, and I believed God for the increase. When I was a single mom of two doing a full-time degree with two kids under the age of five, let me tell you, excellence looked like not screaming before I left the house. Honestly, and I was like, I did it, Jesus. I had an excellent morning. I didn't scream. The neighbors didn't need to feel like they needed to be concerned. We were all dressed. My clothes weren't inside out. You know, this was like real goals, people. But it looked like excellence because I was doing the best I could with what I had. Now, today, I've got to tell you that every now and then I come into the office and Jen Derbyshire, if she's here, give me a wave, Jen, will say, Siobhan, your top's inside out. So that still happens, okay? But I'm still doing my best. But now I might have more time in the morning, and actually not losing my temper isn't like the goal. You know, actually, this is now a product because I'm no longer in that season. I have far more support. I'm not the same. What I have isn't the same. But my spirit of doing the best I can with what I've got for the glory of God, that's the same. So I want to read you this story. And I pray that it doesn't condemn you, that you don't hear any judgment, but that you actually start to release a breath of, it's okay. I'm going to do my very best to honor God. And He knows who you are and the season that you're in. So it's taken from Matthew. We're going to read it. It's called The Parable of the Three Servants. It's a little long, and I love storytelling, so I kind of feel like settling, guys. Let's go. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven. This is what we're talking about, kingdom. What values do we need to see that kingdom illustrated in your life? Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave five bags of silver to one, two bags of silver to another, and one bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. And he left on his trip. I just want to pause right there because those key words for me is he entrusted. Here's this master, and he had some treasure. He had something of value. And he entrusted it to his servants. And he didn't just like, you know, dish it out to everybody the same. No, he proportioned it because of his grace for them according to their ability. Scripture says, I won't give you anything that's too heavy or ill-fitting. So we start the story off with three servants. He's not treating them all the same. What he's saying is, I'm going to give you something of value. I'm going to entrust it to you according to your ability. And then he goes on his trip. The servant who received 5 bags of silver began. Sometimes you just need to start. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest that what was given, the money, and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. He went to work. But the servant who received 1 bag did a peculiar thing. He dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, I'm going to let you in on how I read the Bible. So it's a little quirky, but come with me. So I kind of put myself in the story, you know, like if you've ever watched Friends, get in the map, you know, so like I get in the story. So I kind of think here is these 3 servants. One begins to invest what's given. The other one starts to work and they see multiplication. And I just wonder if fear took hold. In fact, later on in the scripture, in the story, it says, I was fearful. So because of fear that maybe I can't begin to do this, maybe I can't see that multiplication that I see my friends doing, and so I'm going to hide it. I'm going to bury it. I'm going to dig and just think that it's not there. I think so often we hear a call, we hear something, you know what, we hear a whisper in our spirit, like, what if you could do this? What if that thing that seems so small to you, what if you did it consistently well to the glory of God? What would happen with it? But we're fearful of, what if I fall short? What if I make a mistake? What if I embarrass myself? What if someone notices? Let me tell you, this is not being humble. It is actually a spirit of pride. Because why are you different from all the rest of us? I'm just telling you, that's an ouch moment. I recognize that. But I want to bring a relief to you. You are part of the human race. That means you fall short. It should just be like, phew. So you shouldn't be worried about having a go, but he does, and he digs a hole, and he buries it. After a long time, their master returned from his trip. And they called them to an account of how they used his money, his treasure, his investment, his gift. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 5 more. The master, full of praise, said, Well done, good, not perfect. Yeah, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate. Come on, we should. Let's celebrate. This guy's done really well. Not been perfect, but he's been a good steward. He's done his best with what he has. Okay, then the servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you have given me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate. Okay, then the servant, I actually feel for this servant. I really do. Then this servant with the 1 bag, can you imagine? Like, he's going down the line. Can you imagine what's happening to this servant here? Oh, it's me next. Oh, what am I going to say? I buried it. Okay, no, that doesn't sound good. Okay, what am I going to say? I thought it was like an acorn and it would grow a money tree. No, don't go there. He knows you know about farming. Okay, I don't know what I'm going to say. But then he speaks to the servant with 2 bags of silver. My turn's next. How am I going to explain that I didn't begin? that I didn't even try, that I buried it. And I can just feel this servant becoming a little anxious. Because here it goes, it says, then the servant with one bag of silver came and said, Master, it's kind of like before you even ask, okay, before you even get started, I knew you to be a harsh man. You know what perfectionism does? It puts you on the defense. Often, people who are on the defense try and cover up. Or they come out fighting. They'll either won't even turn up because they don't know what to say, don't know how to give an account. Or when they are asked, in a defensive way, they will lash out harshly. I knew you to be a harsh man. None of the other servants have even echoed that statement. But because he feels anxious, because he feels scared, that fear that had him gripped, because how can I possibly explain why I sat on a treasure? I knew you to be a harsh man, harvesting crops you did not plant and gathering crops you did not cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money. I was afraid that I would make a mistake. I pray that right now that your fear of making a mistake would not hold you back from investing the treasure that God has given you and seeing the fruit thereof in your family and in the community that God has planted you in. Let's not be guilty of digging a hole and thinking that something might just magically grow. These are not magic beans, guys. I'm just telling you, there's no beanstalk. So then he says, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is it back. Good stewardship is not just holding on to something so you can give it back. It's not just having some finance that you have build up and build up and build up in a savings account. It is investing it. It is advancing the kingdom. I have nothing, I'm not saying anything against a savings account, but we don't have savings accounts for the savings account's sake. We have it so that we can invest it. We have it so that we can actually do something of good of what we have to bring the glory to God. That is what we do. But then this is what the master said. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I did not plant and gathered crops I did not cultivate. Basically saying, if you knew I had a grace for multiplication, if you knew I had a grace for multiplication, why were you worried about making the increase? Your job was to begin. Your job was to work. Your job was to invest. My job was to bring the multiplication. Let me tell you, a spirit of excellence recognizes and has balance of where responsibility lies. In a spirit of excellence, my responsibility is to do the best I can with what I've got to glorify God. Let me tell you, perfectionism has an unbalanced view of responsibility. It's either all with somebody else. Master, I knew you to be. So he's pushing the responsibility somewhere else. Or perfectionism says, all the responsibility is mine. Oh, I failed. It's my fault. It's never going to work. If I don't do it, no one will do it. No. This is a partnership with us and God. And he's saying, you do your bit, and I'll do mine, and I will bring the increase. And this guy's even acknowledging that God is the God of increase. Why did he say so? I'm just going to repeat that last sentence. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I did not plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit in the bank? At least I would have got some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from the servant and give it to the one with 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have an abundance. This is a promise to you. See, this is a promise. To those who use well what is given to them, to those who rest, and I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be good, not perfect. And God will bring the increase. He said, more will be given to them, and they will have an abundance. But for those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. I just really pray that this is a sense of relief to you. And I honestly pray that you recognize the unforced rhythms of grace. We've come into a time of prayer now. I want you to stand. I want to invite the band up. But I'm going to read a scripture to you. And as I start to read it, if this is you, this is an invitation. And once I've finished reading the scripture, we're going to say a prayer together. And for some of you, this might be the first time you've ever prayed this kind of prayer. But for others, it will be a reestablishment of this is who I am and this is who He is. And because of this beautiful gift of grace, this is the life we get to experience and the relationship we get to grow in. But I'm going to read you the scripture now. My heart is really, do you know, I speak to a lot of people, and the word I hear very often right now is I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Who feels tired at the minute? You know what? Yeah, thanks for, not just me. But you know what? When we're tired, I just wonder whether or not we're trying to attain an unrealistic expectation. Whether we're trying to force something. All God is asking you is He said, you know what, my child, I know you by name. Before you were even born, I knew the plans I had for you. I've tucked away investments and treasure within you. Just begin. Just have a go. And trust me for the increase. Trust me for the grace. And so this is in Matthew 11, and it says this. Are you tired? So the moment I feel like you feel like this invitation's for you, I just want you to raise your hand as an acknowledgement to God. God, this is speaking to me, and I pray that your truth would work both in me and through me. Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Some of you think you have lost something that is uncoverable, that it won't come back. Let me tell you that the Lord is not the God of regression, but He is it's an ever-increasing kingdom. And nothing that is lost can't be found. And let me tell you, God will take you from glory to glory. Come with me, get away, and I'll help you recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. That doesn't mean I'm going to show you how to book a holiday, have like a real cup of tea or, you know, with your legs. This means a rest and abiding in who He is. The joy of the Lord is truly your strength. Walk with me. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And this is His promise to you. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Father, I pray right now for every heart that has responded to you when you say come and they've drawn near. I thank you for the scripture that says that you draw near to those who draw near to you. I just thank you right now that, Lord, there is a moment where you are connecting with your children, that you're inviting them to come with you, to really rest, that you'll restore, that you'll refresh them, that you'll energize, and that you'll teach us how to do the best we can with what we've got, knowing that you are a God of grace and a God of the increase. You know, for those of you who don't know this Jesus that I speak of, who don't know that He is the truth, that He is the way, and He is this life that blesses and restores.